Almighty God, as we come to worship you this day, still our rapid pace, that we may, by the power of your Holy Spirit, hear and respond to the voice of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name I pray, amen. Good morning. Welcome all of you. I join my welcome to Marty's, whether you're here with us or whether you're tuning in from some other place. If you're here with us, there's no question you really wanted to be in church today. I'm amazed. It's really frigid here in Houston. If you're tuning in, we have lots of people who are watching now, increasingly from outside of Houston, outside of Texas, even outside of the U.S. And we're about to have a little Christmas miracle here in Houston as we're expecting 3 to 5 inches of snow tonight. So, Suze, is there any chance Jesus is coming back this week, or is that, no, don't know? So 4-year-old Jason was visiting his grandparents, and his grandpa was in his study intently reading. Jason walked in carrying a ripe peach, and he handed it to his grandfather and then said something grandpa didn't quite catch, didn't quite hear. And thinking his wife had sent him a snack, the grandpa took it and ate it in just a few bites. Just as he was kind of licking the last few drops off of his hand, he looked down to see his grandson with a quivering lip who said, "But Grandpa, I didn't want you to eat it. I just wanted you to get the worm out." Listening, hearing is so important. I can trace so many of the mistakes I have made in my life back to one thing: not taking the time to listen, to think, to reflect, and then to make the right decision. In fact, if I'm honest, a lot of the sin in my life is really due to the selfishness of my own self-centered nature and activity, so much so that I've locked out the voice of my own good reason or the feelings of others or the voice of God. Every now and then, I have a fellow Christian ask me, what is one thing I can do to deepen my relationship with our Lord, with God, with Jesus? What's one thing I can do? Of course, here at St. Martin's, we believe and proclaim from this pulpit that our relationship with God and Christ is not based upon the things that we do, but upon our submission to Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, coming to him, in Paul's words, by grace through faith. But you know, like any relationship, there are things we can do that make it more intimate, make that bond deeper and richer and stronger. And there's certainly a myriad of ways we can do that to enrich our lives as Christians. But today I want to hone in on just one: listening. In the gospel lesson Nick read for us a moment ago from Mark, I believe we're prompted with a story that gets us to ask, am I listening? It's just 6 days prior to this transfiguration story. Peter had made the astonishing confession that Jesus is the Christ, and now armed with that knowledge, Jesus chooses Peter and James and John to join him, and he offers them a glimpse of the glorious life that is to come for Jesus and those who choose to follow him as their Lord. Now, I could focus this morning on the transfiguration itself, the glistening garments, the appearance of Elijah and Moses, Jesus's mysterious bleached appearance. However, I think it might be more useful for us to look at the events that followed. Almost instantly after this glorious vision, Peter says to Jesus, "Rabbi, it's a good thing we're here. Let's make 3 dwelling places or 3 booths, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." Why did Peter do this? Well, Mark tells us he didn't know what to say because they're terrified. And what happens next reveals the point God is trying to get across to Peter. He did not need to say anything. He did not need to build anything. But there was something he needed to do. So to that fearful, anxious, yapping apostle, God speaks this command: "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." Listen to him. I remember well in grade school, whenever my little ADD tendencies would take me off to La La Land, a coach would yell out, "Hey, listen up." Or a teacher would say, "Russ, are you listening?" And of course, the answer was often no. And I don't think I'm alone, particularly in the year 2021 and the human struggle to listen. You and I live in a world that is constantly, relentlessly screaming at us. When I was a kid, we had AM radios in our car, and if you were lucky, you could reach about a half dozen stations. And now we have Sirius Radio loaded into virtually every car. And if you don't like what you find on the hundreds of channels there, you can still pop in a CD. If you don't like that, you can now connect the music on your phone to come through the speakers. We can walk from our car to our home, grab the television remote, and pop in something to watch until bedtime. And then you can grab your phone and watch YouTube videos until your eyes can't stay open anymore, until you wake. And then before you reach for the light or a glass of water or your loved one, you can reach for your phone and check the weather or check the news or check your emails or check your bid on eBay. And don't worry, before you get dressed for work, you can turn on now a shower radio, even a shower television. There is enough stuff pummeling our ears that it's possible to literally be hearing something 24 hours of the day. We've begun to accept busyness, that filling up of our lives with the sounds of this world, as the norm. The late missionary Fred Mitchell, who gave his life to ministry and who was often tugged at from every side, wrote, "Beware of the barrenness of a busy life." Some years ago, I had a fellow student when I was earning my doctoral degree who was a missionary in Africa, and he told me that the natives with whom he worked could rarely understand why visiting Westerners always seemed like they were in a rush. In fact, he told me the word in Swahili for safari participants who traveled from the West was mzungu, which literally translated meant to go around and around. Public figures have to wrestle with the pressures of a yelling world, perhaps more than most of us. And Mauro Lindbergh, the wife of the famous aviator, learned how to respond to these noises by jealously guarding her private world. She spent a lot of time alone. She was comfortable with herself. And in her book, The Gift of the Sea, she wrote these words, "I want, first of all, to be at peace with myself. I want a singleness of eye, a purity of intention, a central core to my life that will enable me to carry out these obligations and activities as well as I can. I want, in fact, to live in grace as much as possible. By grace, I mean an inner harmony, essentially spiritual, which can be translated into an outward harmony. I'm seeking perhaps what Socrates asked for, may the outward and inward man be one. I'd like to achieve a state of inner spiritual grace from which I could function and give as I was meant to in the eyes of God." I would bet that there's some of us sitting here today, watching today, who would like to have what Ann Lindbergh desired, an inward harmony that spilled over in our outward lives. We'd like the person on the outside to be a reflection of the person on the inside and vice versa. And we would like, by the grace of God, to function and give our lives as God intends. Well, let me suggest to you that there is at least one thing you can do to help bring that about, and it is to listen. Let me give you a few reasons, and believe it or not, I think they're all part of God's suggestion to the three fortunate apostles on the Mount of the Transfiguration. First, listening, it really can improve your own life. John Wesley once wrote, "Though I am always in haste, I'm never in a hurry because I never undertake more work than I can go through with calmness of spirit." We know that Jesus had a full, busy, complicated life. We're also told in Scripture that Jesus often withdrew to a lonely place apart. Not rarely, not sometimes, often spent time alone. If you and I take the time to shut out the noises around us and set ourselves apart alone with ourselves, we'll learn much will learn much in that time that needs to be healed and helped and nourished and encouraged. Second, listening can improve our relationships. One of the most common complaints I hear when I sometimes sit down with a husband and wife who are having some trouble with each other is something like this. He, she never listens to me. And you husbands know quite well, as do I, that most of the times we've gotten into trouble with our wives, it's because we've either refused or simply been too lazy to listen. And the same is true in close friendships, with those with whom we work, even in our life in the church. We tend to talk far more than we listen, but you've probably heard it said that God gave us two ears and one mouth so we would listen twice as much as we talk. The popular devotional writer from Dallas, Chuck Swindoll, tells a story from his own family life. He wrote that he once was really getting caught up in the undertow of too many commitments in too many ways. It wasn't long before he was snapping at his wife and children, choking down food at mealtimes, and feeling irritated at the most unexpected interruptions through the day. And before long, things around his house began to reflect this pattern of the hurry-up lifestyle. It was becoming unbearable for everyone. And he wrote that he distinctly remembers after supper one evening the words of his young daughter, Colleen. She wanted to tell him something important that had happened to her at school that day. And she came up to him and she hurriedly began, "Daddy, I want to tell you something and I'll tell it real fast." And suddenly realizing her frustration, Swindoll said, "Honey, you can tell me. You don't have to tell me real fast. Say it slowly." And he wrote, "I'll never forget what she said. She looked at me and said, 'Then, Daddy, listen slowly.'" If we begin to listen more to one another, surely it would improve our relationships. And then thirdly, listening can improve your relationship with God. God calls on us to listen to his beloved son. I often hear people say to me, I don't know what you mean by hearing God. I try and listen. I don't ever seem to hear anything. I've never audibly heard the voice of God, but I've certainly heard God. The point is not whether God is speaking, but whether or not we are being still enough and quiet enough to hear his voice. "God, are you real?" a woman whispered as she sat upon the beach. And as the sun began to set, she put on her shades and plugged in her earbuds and watched a video on her iPhone. "God, speak to me," a man said as he started out the door to church one morning. And then he saw his favorite movie starting on the television set. And he sat down and said to himself, "I think I'll watch this. I can go to church next week. It's always there." "I wish I understood what God wanted me to do with my life," the young physician asked as he busily dusted the books around his desk, a dictionary and a textbook and a Bible. "I wish God would speak to me," the young teenager thought, and a lark began to sing and thunder rolled across the sky, but the teen didn't even notice. Jaded old woman sat outside one evening. She wished to herself, "I wish I could see God." And a star shined brightly in the night, but she just sipped on her glass of wine and looked at the ground. "I'd really like to feel God's touch," a husband said. Feel his touch. Before putting his coffee down and picking up his briefcase and grabbing the keys and closing the door behind him on his way out to work without stopping to hug his young one who was standing nearby with open arms, or kiss his wife goodbye who was folding his laundry in the other room. The point is not whether God is speaking, but whether we are being still enough and quiet enough to hear. So indeed, listening, it can improve your life. It can improve your relationships. It can improve your walk with God. Those are indeed good reasons to listen. But there's one more reason. Listening in these ways also helps craft us into the people we're called to be. I've enjoyed symphonies for years, but one of my favorite parts is just before the conductor comes out. There's this wild chaos of tooting woodwinds and straining strings in all directions. And then moments before the playing begins, the cacophony and chaos of every instrument kind of playing in their own direction is transformed. For moments before the symphony begins, the long, clear tone of the oboe playing an A note. And at that moment, the whole orchestra falls into line. Every player of every instrument tunes up to that one note that seems to rise above all notes. In a way, at that moment, order is brought out of chaos, and then the symphony is ready to begin. Why the A note? Well, every stringed instrument has an A string. So it makes sense for all the other instruments to tune to that one note. When we take the time to stop the busyness and the noise we're making to listen to the one clear note named Jesus, then the chaos of our lives begins to subside. You see, we too, we have a common chord. We actually, each of us possess a supernatural gift. We're all made in the image of God. We're connected in that way. But the only way to live as His children is to tune our lives to His voice, to let that voice transform our lives that we may do what He created us to do, to love and to serve one another. See, in the end, when we listen to God, we become less focused on ourselves, and we are kind of carved into ways that become, enable us to become the selfless servants we're called to be. I want to leave you with one true story. It's appropriate for this Valentine's Day. Oh, a lot of you probably just went, oh no, it's Valentine's Day. It's written by the pastor Dale Galloway about a book he knew in his book, Rebuild Your Life. Kid's name was Chad, and he was shy, was a quiet young fellow. One day he came home from school, told his mom that he wanted to make a Valentine for everyone in his class for the upcoming Valentine's Day party. And she thought to herself, I wish he wouldn't do that. Because she had watched other children when they walked home from school together. Chad was always bringing up the rear. The friends would laugh and hang on each other, but Chad was never included. Nevertheless, she decided she'd go along with her son. So she bought the paper and the glue and the crayons. And for 3 weeks, night after night, Chad painstakingly made 35 Valentines. The day dawned and Chad was beside himself with excitement. He carefully stacked up the notes, put them in a bag, bolted out the door. His mom's heart just kind of sank. She decided while he was gone at school, she'd bake him his favorite cookies and serve them up warm with a nice cool glass of milk when he came home from school. She just knew that he would be disappointed. And maybe the snack could kind of ease the pain a little bit. It hurt her to think that he wouldn't get many Valentines, maybe none at all. And that afternoon, she had the cookies and the milk out on the table, and she heard the children outside. She looked out the window, and sure enough, there they came. There was Chad walking by himself, many steps behind the group. He did walk a little faster than usual, she noticed. She fully expected Chad to burst into tears as soon as he got inside. She noticed his arms were empty. And when the door opened, she choked back her tears and she said, I've made some warm cookies and some milk for you. But he could hardly wait. As his face turned to hers, beaming, all he could say was, not a one. Not a one, and her heart sank. And then he added, I did not forget one, not a single one. I remembered everybody in my class. I like that story because it reminds us that little Chad didn't listen to all those noises around him, whispering to think only of his own needs. He didn't fill all the open spaces around him with the busyness born of angst and fear. Instead, he chose to listen to a higher voice that enabled him not just to be made in God's image, but to live God's image with that greatest of gifts, which is love. So while the theologian Paul Tillich told us the first duty of love is to listen. Many years ago, my wife and I, Laura, we traveled to the Mount of the Transfiguration in Israel with our vice rector, Marty. If you've ever been there, you know there's a monastery up on that mountain now. More than the incredible view to the valley below or the beautiful icons and images in the chapel there, more than all of those things, what I remember was how very quiet it was and how very close I felt to the presence of God. So my friends, on this Valentine's Day, on this last Sunday of worship before we enter the holy season of Lent, perhaps it's time to take a long, good, hard look at your life and stop the booth building. If you seek to deepen your walk with God, hear his crystal clear voice. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Listen. Listen. That's one thing you can do. Amen.